Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, Fellowship. Welcome to Fellowship Talks. It is good to have you with us today. If this is your first time listening to Fellowship Talks, we just want to say welcome. Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church and getting to know who we are. And if you've been listening to us for quite a while, it's good to have you around for another episode. Amy, we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to have Rory Yates on with us today.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Rory here and hear him share his story.
That's right. And so I just wanted to remind everybody that Fellowship Bible Church is one church in multiple locations. And we have several locations all throughout Central Arkansas here. But this story today is coming from one of our D group or discipleship pastors, Rory Yates. And we have some different things to talk about with him around going after the one or hospitality or being a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really great hearing the stories from different people coming out of the series that we did this fall, kicking off just talking about making space and what that looks like as we reach out to neighbors, friends, coworkers, just the people in our lives.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of great stories about people coming out of that Making Space series, thinking about Dustin Willis coming in November to speak to our church. And people have been asking, how can we live more hospitably? Is there anything that's coming up in the church where we can live as a D group in a hospitable way? And so we wanted to just share with people that, yeah, we have Family Fest coming up here at the end of October. It's going to be October 28th. And if a D group wants to be involved in Family Fest and come set up a trunk or treat for some of the kids here at our church, this is a big event.
Mm-hmm. It's a great time, too, to invite your neighbors, invite other families to come and join you and be at that event with you.
Yeah, and last year we had just over 4,000 people visit the West Little Rock campus alone for Family Fest, and we're really excited to see what God does with this event again this year on each of our campuses here at Fellowship. Well, there's Family Fest coming, but we also have Rory Yates sitting here with us, and we want to jump into this story because yesterday he set his cars on fire. And
I cannot wait to
We need to hear a little
story.
Bit more about this story. So
yes, we do.
Rory, welcome to Fellowship Talks. Well,
thank you, Dan.
Fill us in a
thank
little
you,
bit
Amy.
More about you setting your cars on fire.
I've been told by an electrical engineer in my D group that it was not my fault. What happened was wife's car was dead in the garage. Ran to Walmart to get some very long cables so I could jump it with my truck. And roped those two up, grounded it like I was supposed to. I'm not a car guy, but I don't think I was at fault.
You've seen a YouTube video or two on how to
right,
jump a car.
Yeah, did the research, yeah. All that. In full kind of jump mode, I'm in my wife's car trying to crank it over. And I look out the driver's side window, and the entire 20 feet of jumper cable is on fire.
And this is you just bought a brand new cable.
Brand new jumper cable, which was completely on fire at the time.
Oh.
The next 45 seconds are kind of a blur as far as what I remember. I ran in the house. I think I grabbed a mop so I could knock the cables off. And then I had Shan, my wife, just throwing me fire extinguishers. And we went through two fire extinguishers and, put her out. And
the cables were on fire and they melted
fully,
side of your wife's car.
Fused the side of my wife's car. So thankfully, no one was hurt.
Wow.
We're just looking at probably some paint damage for sure. Garage did not catch a fire. The fire was next to my wife's holiday wreaths, probably the most combustible items in our entire home. So
this really could have happened to anybody.
Probably not. I'm sure I did something that caused
that
the fire.
That was really fast
sure.
thinking, though. I think I would have just freaked out and frozen.
It may have been the Holy Spirit. I don't know. There was a lot of things happening in that moment of crisis. Some very good and very righteous. Some not so much so. which I need Jesus desperately,
we
and that
all
was
do.
Yes, that was definitely evidence.
Just another good reminder. I think my favorite part of the story you were telling me earlier was that your neighbor had your kids and her kids corralled outside the garage, watching and listening to everything that was happening.
Yeah, the listening part was that hospitality wise, they're like, yep, that's the pastor that desperately needs Jesus after after that moment. So yeah, I have great neighbors. She sent her husband over 10 minutes later with his own kitchen fire extinguisher. So I appreciate his moral support.
That's right.
And making sure it was all set up. But yeah, so it was heady times last night at the Yates household.
So thankful everybody's okay.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Wow. No doubt. So it could have been a lot worse and been thinking more about that and going, whoo, okay.
Well, Rory, it is good to have you with us here on Fellowship Talks. Thanks for sharing about your fun experience and everything.
Yeah, yes. Fun something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, yeah.
For those of you guys listening, if you haven't met Rory Yates, recently he made a transition here on staff away from young adults to midlife and working with family D groups and midlife D groups here at Fellowship. And so he's working with me and Justin Bilson.
That's right, three-headed monster. That's right.
With our three-headed monster team of midlife and family D groups. So it's been so good to be working with Rory and have him as part of the team. So coming out of this Making Space series that we had in August and September, we've had several people share with us stories of ways that they've reached out intentionally to their neighbors or coworkers. Mm-hmm. And Rory, you were sharing with us a story about this time that you and Shannon reached out to one of your neighbors. Fortunately, not the neighbors in the garage witnessing this event, but another neighbor. And it all started with the Christmas cookies, right?
Yeah, sure. It's been a while now. And to say reached out like it was a one-time event, I mean, it's definitely a story of a process and something that did not seem very spectacular and has been totally miraculous and was kind of a day-by-day thing. And so, it probably has been 8 years now. It was when we moved into our first house. And two things were happening with Shannon and I at that time. Just what God was doing in our life. You know, one, God was really leading us into understanding how the gospel, who Jesus is and what he has done and is doing, really shapes every area of our lives. You know, Jesus doesn't just get me into heaven. It's trusting him daily, knowing him daily. That's the foundation for the way that I love and live with my wife, the way that I look at my job, the way that I understand, the way I'm reacting to my life has everything to do with my trust in him. And at the same time, God was doing that also, just running into influences, some pastors, some thoughts of going, hey, where you live and, where you work and all that stuff is not an accident. That is primarily where God has you, to be with him on, the mission he has you on. That's your chance to know Jesus in the middle of what he's doing. So those are the two things that were kind of happening, in our life. We moved into our, neighborhood. I was probably mid late fall and kind of got settled and started talking. And my wife makes amazing chocolate chip cookies. And
if we could add them to the show notes, we would, but unfortunately we can't. So just call Rory and ask for some cookies.
Well, no, it's a family recipe and it's under lock and key. So not even that. So I don't want to give, man, you know, false hope to the audience.
I'm so glad you brought some today because I'm really enjoying them. Sorry, listeners, but this is so good.
That would have been nice.
Amy's sixth. Slow down. had the idea and we're talking like, hey, how can we just start to know our neighbors? God's got us here for a purpose. He provided this home and really believe he's going to use us here. And so we had the idea of, we'll make several batches of cookies, put them in baggies, attach a little note. Hey, here are the Yateses, included our email address and phone number. Just saying, hey, we're excited to know you. Anything we can do, let us know. And we set about, trying to meet our neighbors and hand cookies out. I think it was like a Saturday afternoon. And so, the first house across the street, we go knock on the door and no answer. And so, bummer. You know that. Yeah. So we just left the cookies on the step and started progressing down the street. And I just happened to look, three houses later, after we talked to a couple of couples, and I just see this hand just kind of reach out of that first house's door and kind of whisk the kind of Grinch-like, right? Whisk the the cookies off the stoop, and was going, okay, well, I guess we'll meet them later. And didn't think about that. That was our just kind of our first interaction with our neighbors right across the street. It was several months, just not knowing them yet, not having the chance to meet them. So we're just kind of waiting on what God would do. I had the chance to, run in the mornings usually, and I'd go out the front door and, as I would run out past that house, I'd run right toward, pray kind of daily, just, Lord, would you bring faith to that home? Would you bless that home? Would you be working, in that home? And, like I said, months went by. Yeah. I didn't really know our neighbors, and one day I just happened to be getting mail at the same time that I got, the guy across the street was coming out to get his mail. And so my first thought was, this could be really awkward if I would acknowledge the fact that we're both getting mail and both don't know each other. I wanted just to grab my mail and run back in, but going, okay, I'm going to believe that God has me here for a reason. So just cross the street, made the awkward, I'm just an awkward person anyway. So just kind of moved through that awkwardness and introduced myself and got to know James a little bit and came to learn just a little bit about his life. He's, you know, at the time he was a student at Euler, finishing up his political science degree. He's working at Petco. You know, one of the reasons why we didn't see him much, come to find out that, you know, his wife had some pretty significant health problems and they were kind of dealing with that. And so that was just our first interaction.
You got all that from the trash can?
Mail. So
mail.
Yeah, not that I was going through it, but we were, you know, just had a, you know, had a quick conversation, you know, about that.
That's really funny.
So yeah, when you, okay, so you cross the street, you go talk to him. Do you remember, like, did you just say, hey, I'm your neighbor, Rory? Like, how did you kind of strike up that conversation with him?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, I'm sure it was just real direct. I think one of the things I'm trying to learn is, man, I'm an awkward person anyway. And what matters is what Jesus thinks of me, not what somebody else thinks of me.
Embrace the awkwardness.
That's right. Just embrace the awkwardness. And that really is really what this whole story is about, embracing the awkwardness. Because what came next then was a next awkward opportunity. What, you know, James comes to me kind of out of the blue. I hadn't had much interaction with him, you know, other than that. But he comes to me and said, hey, I've got to have my wisdom teeth out. And actually, it was just after we had gotten our daughter. Ruthie came to us through adoption. We had to have been just weeks in to that whole deal. Fridays, I was home with her. My wife, Shannon, was working. And James comes to me and says, hey, I have to have my wisdom teeth out. My wife, Lisa, is, you know, dealing with MS. She can't drive. I need somebody to drive us to get my wisdom teeth out, sit with Lisa in the waiting room, and get me home because we don't have anybody in town.
That's a way to get to know people under anesthesia.
Jumping in. Well, and it was a pretty amazing experience because I have my newborn daughter, Lisa, and James, his wife that I don't really know, in the car, and James has to pick up his prescription. And I, as a new dad, I don't know what I'm doing as a new dad. And I'm like, I don't feel like I can leave. James's wife's wonderful. We spent, you know, 3 hours in the you know, waiting room together, but I don't really know you. And so we sent James under anesthesia into Kmart to pick up his own prescription. Like, by the grace of God, he makes it out. I mean,
I want to ask you a question around that, Rory, because that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. Like,
you set cookies outside. You saw a hand reach out for those cookies. You met him at the mailbox, had a few mailbox or trash can conversations over some time.
Yep.
And then he knocks on your door and asks for a commitment kind of out of the blue about, hey, come to my oral surgery, sit in the waiting room for 3 hours, give up your whole day basically to help me. What were you thinking or what was your thought process as you thought about, okay, do I have nothing to do today, or why can't someone else help him? Or
I don't even really remember what the thought process was, other than okay, like, this is where we're at. And I think one of the things, time and time again, you come back to what is true. If you know God through Jesus Christ, you have everything you need that day pertaining to life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1:3, and it's a moment of belief of going, you know what? I've got what I need to respond to what my friend needs in this moment. And so, yeah, it felt weird and risky and odd, but it was an act of belief when it came down to that.
And connecting with that family and serving that family was more important during that day than meeting your own needs.
That's right.
I think that's amazing because I think we get going so busy in our own schedule, in our own life, that sometimes we don't want to stop and step into that opportunity that the Lord's putting right there before us. Literally, he came right to you and asked for help. Right.
And that was in the middle of some of the podcasts and stuff I was listening to. I think I remember one of the things going, hey, just resolve to say yes. Resolve to say yes and just see what God would do. And so that was a yes moment. I had a couple other yes moments that were more awesome, you know, kind of out of that time. I think one of the yes moments, then James invited us over to eat some barbecue. He's an amazing smoker of meats. And so that was like one of the awesome yeses. And then there was another awesome
yes. That was easy to say yes to.
Yes, yeah. And he was like, hey, another time he was like, hey, I really want help pulling a tree out from the ground in my yard, and you have a diesel truck. Can we? Yes, that's an awesome. Like, who doesn't want to pull a tree out by its roots using, heavy equipment? So there's, that one yes led to other yeses that a relationship came out of that just awesome. Really blessed me. Like, so it's, it was, I love James. I love the story. I love what God did through that. And so it was that moment of yes that led all that.
They were believers or not believers?
James and Lisa both kind of had, James grew up, Catholic, but really had kind of walked away from any of that. Lisa was just kind of unaffiliated as well. She'd grown up Baptist in the area. And so neither of them, as far as I was just building a relationship, but neither knew the Lord. They were becoming friends.
And you didn't learn all that in the first mailbox experience.
Right.
This took months, even over years of getting to know them in a normal relationship and learning who they are as people.
Yeah.
Learning to love them as people and to really enjoy who they are.
Just doing life. And there was, to say there was a ton of intentionality, like, Shannon and I kept, getting to know James and Lisa over and over again. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case, but just in the course of life, we were able to intersect. And there was a couple of, moments just kind of kept leading to deepening relationship. I think somewhere along the way picked up from James that he was, we're kind of fellow nerds when it came to kind of sci-fi, the dorkier things of life. And
what are some of those dorkier things?
Let me tell you what one of them was. It was a movie called Pacific Rim, which is all about ginormous sea creatures doing battle with huge robots in Japan. So that's dorky. And a couple guys in the D group were going, and I was thinking, hey, we're going to go dork out. And I know a dork across the street. And so just on a whim, just wanted to bring James into that connection to see, because I love the guy and wanted to be part of the chance to do something fun. And so we all went, and that was another moment of connection, along the way where we kept building friendship, building relationship.
So there's a turn in this, in your journey, getting to know your neighbors. What was that turn there?
Well, the first one was, and I think it was just shortly after, James and Lisa invited us over for dinner, and it was a circus because we were new parents, and we got little Ruthie, and so we pack up the playpen and the toys, and we just cart this circus across the street to go up there. And so we ate, and a couple of days after that, he just shows up at my doorstep, and I'm like, hey man, what's up? And he's just saying, hey, we need to talk because my marriage is in trouble. And it was awesome. It was humbling. It was that we'd go from just kind of that connection where we were buddies to going, man, James is moving us into friendship. We're talking about real stuff. And came to realize then through a couple coffees over that, that just where I was working through my own things in my own marriage was completely where James was at too. Because, like I said before, learning that Jesus is the core of everything was a way that then I could connect to what was going on in James's life. Because the reality is, neither he nor Lisa knew the Lord at the time. And their same core problems that they're having in their marriage is the same core problem that I have in my marriage with my wife. Mm. The big difference is that I have hope to turn to, and James is looking for that hope. And so my big issue is I'm a huge approval guy. I need somebody to love me and approve of me and like me. When the reality is by the grace of God, I already have the approval of my Creator through Jesus. But I tend to use my wife for that approval. And when she doesn't realize and recognize my awesomeness in our marriage, I tend to get a little bitter, a little angry. The issue's not my wife, the issue's me. I'm trying to use her for something that she's never been created to do, and that's satisfy my need for relationship and approval that comes to me through God.
So you were able to identify with your neighbor
that's right.
in that.
That's right. Because, and that's right.
Yeah.
So at CORE, really, really talking through that, just talking to James about how I was processing through things and needed Jesus and had that hope in Jesus. It really looked a lot like just even more kind of confessing the way that I was working out, turning to God in His grace, sharing that with Him, mm-hmm. and Him going, I've never heard that before, that you could know God like that, and it wouldn't come through performing, but through trusting, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't come from working hard enough to please Him, but He's done it for you, and it looks like turning to Him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was an awesome conversation. It was a profound conversation, and then it ended with Him going, huh, I've never heard that. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. And so kind of that question too of going, like, should I do more? Like, do I have, and God in His grace, I was like, no, hey, be His friend. Mm-hmm. And so we keep talking, we keep processing through, and his wrestling in marriage, our wrestling together in marriage. We kind of had that joke where he's like, I know you're about to Jesus me again, right? Because we keep talking about how that's our core need is for approval from God, not from mm-hmm. our wives. Yeah. But James is still working through that. And it was a long process for him to consider things he'd never heard before, things that he'd never, just consider how life would fit together around that. And so just being patient and being his friend in the middle of that. And mm-hmm. then the next turn came probably 3 or 4 months later, where I woke up, it was probably Saturday morning, and there's an ambulance outside of James's house. And they had to rush Lisa to the hospital. Kind of had an infection that went really wrong. And and what happened over the course of about two weeks, James being in the hospital with Lisa, he ends up losing his wife. Lisa ends up dying unexpectedly, and wow. and just being with him, in the middle of that, and not knowing what to do, not knowing, what's our role in this, and he had some connection too with other folks in our D group at that time, just by being around and making those connections, and so as a whole, D group family, able just to be present for him and for mm-hmm. Lisa's family as they're trying to figure out what to do and what's next. Fellowship as a whole church was real hospitable to that family, opened up our building to have services here. And it was a family that hadn't connected with the church in a long, long time through this mm-hmm. traumatic loss and connected. And
Wow. Wow. And then you had the opportunity to walk with him through this journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the next couple months and just what that looked like.
And it really, it ended up becoming the whole D group family walking with James. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't.
How did that happen? From just you as a neighbor to your D group? Mm-hmm.
Well, and we connected through, we went to Pacific Rim. And so he met a couple mm-hmm. of guys in the group that way. And then there was, I think he came over for a few meals that we were having as a D group as well. And it really just, looked like, small things of serving him, helping him clean up the house and sort through Lisa's things, helping him with some of the paperwork things that came out of that, and just a couple ways that the group served him. Looked like just text, checking in, meals, mm-hmm. Started to invite him to come to our D group on Sunday nights if he'd be interested. And before he hadn't been, but slowly, what the Lord started to work in him was this thought of I can't go through this alone, mm-hmm. And so it definitely started. And James and I laughed about this the other day when we were talking. It started with him, and he just needed people around him.
Yeah.
And he would mm-hmm. come to D group, and sometimes he'd eat the meal and he'd head out. Sometimes he'd come to D group, and he was just so tired and so exhausted, like he would fall asleep in the middle of D group. But he just needed people mm-hmm. around him, and he's just a dear friend, and we're just there, and this again working this out in months, and him processing with the Lord what God's doing.
What a beautiful picture mm-hmm. of not only you and Shannon coming around him and his family, but then inviting your D group into that same process mm-hmm. and seeing our church really be hospitable mm-hmm. to him, displaying this attribute of God to him.
And I love just how you brought him into community first.
That's
and
right. mm-hmm.
it didn't have to be, let's start with the Bible study. Let's start with the, it was just right. doing life, going to a movie, getting to know one another.
Yep.
And then in that moment, you're perfectly poised to be that community around him in a hard time.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
That's really just so beautiful.
Because we all know life will happen.
It does. Amen.
Life
that's
will
right.
happen
yeah.
to
that's
each
right.
one of us.
Yeah.
That's right.
And to each one of our neighbors.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned a few times, Roy, that you continue to have a friendship with James. And so can you give us a little bit of a picture where he's at now in life?
Yeah,
what that
yeah.
looks like? Yeah,
it really was being part of community that God used to bring James to faith. It was I need friends, but seeing that connection and you know just working through that, I'd given him a Bible. Actually, it was before Lisa had passed. Thinking that we had a plan to read John together, right? So I thought I was really being awesome. In this whole process, I've learned so much from James, and God's taught me so much through that process. But it was awesome. He's like, hey, I didn't read John. I actually read Revelation because I really like monsters and stuff. Like that was really where his interest lay.
Pacific Rim coming back.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It all comes back to the beast. What started happening then through this process, he picked up the scriptures and he starts, man, not only do I need people around me, but I need God in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And what I learned through this is, I mean, what Jesus says in John 15 or 17, as he's praying for the his disciples that come after, he's praying about their unity, that the world would see that he is who he says that he is,
mm-hmm.
That our community is the apologetic for the good news of the gospel. That's what the scriptures say over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'd spent way too much time just in that Christian community and not bringing people that mm-hmm. don't know Jesus yet into that community, instead sharing that, being hospitable with that.
Mm-hmm.
That was really my first time to see God use community to make some of the truths of the good news of the gospel make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started to happen in James's life. It wasn't any kind of awesome conversation he had. It wasn't anything that I or anybody else in the D group did. It was just a process of time where God was just drawing James to him. He starts, he's continuing to come to D group. He's engaging more and more in the conversation. And one night just during group, he's like, look, I really realized I need God in this.
Mm.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but I need God.
Right.
And so he starts walking with the Lord through this, in that whole process. James is still trying to figure out, do I stay in Little Rock? He's from Idaho originally. And so just circumstances, need for employment ultimately led him to move back to Idaho, where there are actually very few evangelical churches there to be a part of. He goes home and God has continued to be faithful. But there's some things going on in his family. He's moving back where God's really used James to be a peacemaker in his family, ways that God provided community for James, continue to chase James down, even as he's processing losing Lisa and resetting life and not knowing what's going on. I guess a year and a half, couple years after he moves home to Idaho, God actually brings another woman into his life, brings him into a local church body where he's just been growing a ton. And he and his wife now are making decisions about, where they're going and how they're living their faith out together based on the way that God used our D group community to minister and bless him.
Mm.
So they're seeking out, they're part of a church that they were looking specifically for this church. They go, we are looking for a church that are reaching out to people that don't know God yet, because if you guys hadn't done that for me,
mm-hmm.
where would I be?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so just seeing the faithfulness of God continue my friend's life, and how much I love that dude.
I think that's amazing. Just hearing that story, I think you hear both elements there. You hear God chasing him down. You
that's
hear
right.
God working, even just him going, I've never heard that before, wanting to
right.
think on that. And you also see the obedience that you all stepped into and how God used that. And I just think that's where the sweet spot is of that, is just seeing the Lord work and use his people to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Rory, I love your faithfulness to that friendship, to growing that friendship. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us a little bit more about that story. And James, if you're listening, brother, we want you to know that we're praying for you and we love what God has done in your life. Thanks for allowing us to share a little bit of your story here. It all started with a little box of cookies and a hand reaching through the door, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
as we try to get to know our neighbors.
Yeah.
So if you have a story of trying to get to know one of your neighbors and building a relationship, we'd love to hear from you here at Fellowship Talks. We want to share this with the rest of our church. We want to encourage our body as we seek to be hospitable, as we seek to make space in our lives to share God's love with other people.
Yeah, thank you, Rory. I know I'm encouraged just hearing your story.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we want to remind you once again that Family Fest is coming up. So you get involved with Family Fest, get your D group involved in Family Fest. You can bring a trunk or treat up and play some games with some kids and reach out on all our campuses here at Fellowship. It's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.